forgot to crack my can before the show started.
Forgot to do what?
I forgot to crack my can before the show started.
What's that?
My Celsius.
Oh.
Alright. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Walk of the Walker, man. Strap in, we got a good one for you. Let's get into it. First and foremost, we do not own copyrights to none of the music. That song was from Brian Culberston, Fullerton Ave. Big shout out. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Walker the Walker. I'm your man, Lou Walker. Sitting across from me is the OG himself. It's OG Joe. OG Joe.
Hey.
All right, man. How you feeling today, boss?
Feeling wonderful, man. We got through the 4th of July safely.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of excitement for the youngers, you know.
Yeah.
So
I'm more excited for the adults than anything else. Some kids were so. I ain't never been so upset in my life. I felt like I spent so much money on fireworks that I didn't even enjoy.
I think part with the children is because of the catastrophe we had few years ago.
Yeah.
You know, I think that sparked a little fear in them. And for fireworks, it kind of creates something like a PTSD or something, you know.
I'm just saying like this here. If that was a test to see if you had succumbed your fears and you've overcome your fears, those kids failed.
Of course they did. Yeah, you know.
Those kids failed.
Because it was so close to them, but yet it was, you know, far away from them enough where it shouldn't have set in that much fear.
Yeah.
You know, but nonetheless.
Good food, know. Good time. Good.
Yeah.
It was great. You know, I just had a conversation with a buddy the other day, and I was telling him, I was like, look, I don't think that I have any signs of dementia or Alzheimer's in my family. I don't think that's a hereditary type of gene in my family. So I don't see the essence of taking the pictures and all that other stuff like most people do. Because it's like being in the moment beats trying to remember the moment. You know,
every time.
You know what I'm saying? So when I'm in it, I'm not thinking, ooh, let me take a picture. You know, I want to remember. Like, I just be in the moment.
It's not... You know, the 4th of July is not one of those events that you expect to fizzle out over the years, because it marks a significant date in our history. Right. So as long as the country is jubilant and growing and inspiring to the world, I think that remarkable day will stand in the way that we celebrate it.
Possibly.
You know, so they'll have the opportunity year after year after year, you know, until, again, states, if you will, decide to put that part of the activity or event aside.
Yeah.
You know.
Which I doubt. I mean.
Anytime soon, yeah. I take that.
And this may sound biased, you know, but with them making Juneteenth its own like federal holiday, you know, I feel like the fireworks should come out for that day too. You know, it's just my opinion.
Well, I think that would have been an honorable way, you know, but when you think about Juneteenth as it is, you know, if they had delivered the word on the day that the emancipation was actually made,
right,
you know, I think the significance of it would have been more impactful. You know, when you have to, you know, still slave for another year before you even get the word,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you're free, I think that kind of, you know, disheartened a lot of people. You mean we've been doing this another whole year and we've been free, Massa? You know, one of those kind of takes.
Yeah.
You know, so... For an individual.
But then how about we sell the fireworks a week later?
Imagine how well that'll go over, you know.
I'm done. All right, I'm done with my jokes for today. What's on tap for today, OG?
Well, we're on Article 6, Section 6 of Article 1, or Article 1, Section 6 of the Constitution. And but before we get in there, we're gonna get to the point, and we're still hammering at the voting for our local state elections. And one of the issues that are on the ballot this year has to do with hunting and fishing. And I'm not either. I don't hunt, neither do I fish. You know, but it would be nice to have the right to do so solidified. I mean, because apparently it's already in the state constitution. So something went wrong and everybody wants to try to pitch against it, but the right to hunt and fish is the amendment of 2024. And that gives the Floridians a constitutional right to hunt and fish. And a lot of people are for it, but then, you know, whenever there's somebody for an issue, there's the opposition to it. And many a times the opposition is more politically driven than anything else. You know, so a yes vote means a constitutional right, which for Florida, you know, they talked about how much income that the anglers provide for the state. You know, when you got some, you know, over 4 million anglers every year, you know, fishing around, they contribute almost $14 billion in economic output. You know, so as a Floridian, particularly, you know, the people that sponsored the bill, you know, they would love to have a yes vote on that. 60% threshold, they'll get it on the ballot. And the no's are saying, hey, look, no, we don't want, because if we make this a constitutional right for Floridians to fish, you're going to have the same 4 million people from around the world coming into Florida waters, depleting our wildlife, because they're seeing a yes vote without any regulation. In other words, you'll have forever fishing, forever hunting. So there's not going to be something of a seasonal, you know, where certain seasons you go out and catch your red snappers, you go out and catch your redfish, you know, or for hunting, you know, certain seasons you go out and you hunt the bears. So what the no voters are saying is that if we vote yes on this, then there will, that yes will come without any regulations. In other words, the fishermen and the hunters are not going to govern themselves so that the wildlife have the opportunity or a chance to replenish itself, if you will. You know, so people who just come in and suck up all the fish this year, and next year you have no fish. Kill off all the wildlife, and next year you have no wildlife. So what the no's are saying, they're saying, hey, look, we have this in a systematic way which gives the wildlife, the fish and wildlife, ample time to replenish themselves. In other words, you're not going to be fishing for the red snapper year-round or every season. You know, they want it to be a prescribed season, that just as it is now. And this is the same thing with with hunting. But see, also, the yes vote states that that would provide more than 120,000 jobs. So
how would that provide that many jobs?
Well, because, you know, fishing is not just you got your boat and you go out and fish. You're going to have to get all your equipment from somewhere. You know, you're going to have to get all of your bait from somewhere. You know, so they're going to be hiring people to service that public, you know. And they estimated 120,000 jobs. So you're going to have people coming to rent boats because everybody doesn't fish. I mean, everyone that fish doesn't own a boat.
Yeah.
You know, everyone that fish, yeah, they may have a fishing pole, but they may break a fishing pole. Mm. You know, they may have their own line, but they may break the lines. Mm. You know, have to replenish hooks and, you know, all the things that go along with fishing and hunting the same way. You know, you may already have your gun, your rifle to hunt with, but then you may need some more ammo. So, you know, they got to have somebody to service that part of the industry.
Okay.
And one other drawback that I tend not to agree with, but this is what the no voters are saying, that if we pass a forever fishing and hunting, you will ultimately have people coming through your property, you know, chasing raccoons or chasing bears, you know, on your property without your permission. And that can turn out to be a disaster situation. So I think from that perspective, that's a noble one, but I don't see that as a frequent occurrence. I mean, you know, you chase a bear to the city, you have sense enough not to chase him, you know, too close to someone's home or, you know.
Hell, you would think that they would have sense enough not to go into nobody's home.
You know,
you're going to be going from hunting bears to being the hunted.
Yeah, you know.
Step on my porch.
Particularly chasing a raccoon, man.
You know what I mean?
Let that thing go. You know.
Them damn things a dime a dozen just going around the corner.
Yeah. You'll find roadkill all the time, man.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're trying to skirt for life, man. But for all of you that has a fisherman or a hunter in your family, this issue may be worthwhile spending some time upon it to decide which way you want to vote. Forever fishing does sound good, but then, you know, that's going to mean less licenses being sold. And that's the main thing that the state counts on during these seasons is the selling of license, hunting license, fishing license, and you got to buy the tags for your kill, you know. So now the warden job has been cut. The fishing game warden's job has been cut now because he didn't have to tromble out here and see if you may have caught a fish that's undersized, you know, or killed too many deer. You know, and not having the tags for them, you know, so.
I know I'm usually known for giving my opinion, but that's a big no for me on that bill. And the only reason why I say it is because, I mean, you could look at it in the light of saying, hey, you know, I could go fishing or I can go hunting wherever I want. I said, but you got to think about it. When you have a forever bill, like forever chickens, you can kill chickens whenever you want. How much is chickens in the stores now?
Depending on where you go.
It just had a 20% increase on the price in the last 3 months.
Yeah, I would doubt.
And that's minimum. So think about forever fishing. You're out there catching all of the groupers, all of the redfish, all of the, you know, tilapias, all of that jazz. And then they see, you know, 5 years down the line, price of seafood just goes up 25%.
Yeah. If it takes that long,
No, but you said something in the explanation that made sense to me. When you make it seasonal, you give the fish an opportunity to reproduce.
Right. Right.
You know, when you don't give a species time to reproduce, I mean, that's the borderline of genocide, but that's like the perfect definition of extinction.
Well, it drives a lead to, and that's just like having a GMO.
Yeah.
You know, you got GMO vegetable gardens, you know, so you're not getting a seeded product anymore.
Right.
So if you take out all the male, all the females, or just take out all the fish and you just keep catching, and they call it catch and kill, but... Mm. You know, because they use a process that it's called gill nets.
Okay.
So gill nets is this massive long net that they drop. They say to the bottom of the waters.
Right.
And so when the fish swims into it, because they got small net holes, they get stuck in there by the gills. You know, so they end up, they think, you know, animal right people, they always got something to say. They think that's kind of a tragic way to kill a fish.
I mean, technically not dying, unless the gill net suffocates them while they're down there.
Well, if it keeps your gills open, I imagine it has some impact. But then they also, birds get caught in the thing. You know, they diving for the fish.
Yeah.
Inadvertently end up in the net. Because they it gives off no sonar, so while they're down there, they can't come back up for air, right. You know, so they just dig this hole really deep to draw their point, you know, so I think forever fishing with regulations sounds better.
Forever fishing with regulations.
Forever fishing with regulations.
From November to January, you can catch and kill. But from February to April, no, from February to July, you know, it's catch and release.
Yeah, if you even permit to do so.
You know what I mean?
You know, yeah. I think it's a valid point.
Let them fish mate. I wish I had my camera on. Let the fish mate.
Yeah, well, you know, they need to if you expect to have...
forever fishing.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want to fish forever, you
got to let them reproduce.
Yeah. And so, you know, you've had some of the native people to kind of weigh in with their opinion, you know, because they've been, you know, as they say, they've lived their life off the ocean, you know, fishing and hunting, you know, so. But then you got... You know, the NRA that jumped in. So it gets to be a political driven, dollar driven saga. Then it doesn't have the impact that it should, because all your big dollar donors, you know, hold more weight than the consumer does. And right. I don't think that battle should be fought with big dollar donors. You know, I think it should just be the consumers or your citizens.
Right.
You know, so that's the only opinion that I have about the whole situation.
I just, like you said, just with restrictions.
With restrictions, yeah. You know, let's give them time to, most say rejuvenate, but to replenish.
Yeah.
You know.
Let them reproduce.
Yeah. So you take a deer, you know, a buck, you know, you kill off all the bucks, and guess what?
Don't come hunt my buffalo. Just, we're out of bucks. Well, hell, I mean, leave my buffalo alone.
Look, you done killed off all the bucks, man. So guess what? How are they supposed to reproduce? You know? So, but at any rate, go to the polls in November and let the state know how you feel about it with the yes or no vote. I don't advocate for either side. I just, you know, logic sort of dictates a position. If you go and study the arguments on it.
You know, think about the differences between processed meat and actual buck.
Oh God, that's another conversation. I can't, just think about that.
But when you're standing at the poll and you're reading this bill, just remember the difference between processed buck and real buck.
You know, to me, when I think of that processed food, everything looked like a scallop to me. And you know, a big glob.
And all probably taste like chicken.
You know, everything tastes like chicken, as they put it, you know. Yeah. But yeah, when I think of that process, what they call, they don't want to call it lab grown meat. You know, you use the right term. They want to call it processed.
Right.
You know, but every time I think about lab grown, you know, I just see a big glob, like a big scallop, man, you know, because you can't grow it to shape as such. And you know what I mean?
It's funny you say that, because when I think processed meat or lab grown, how you would say, it takes me back to when I was 6 years old watching, you know, The Simpsons and all of those TV shows that I was into as a kid. And in those shows, they have, you know, the fast food joints doing they made the meat out of some sort of clay and they just spray painted it. it looked like a real burger.
Yeah, yeah.
And then gave it to the people and they ate it. So yeah. It's like, that's what processed meat is to me.
Well,
like,
you know, that
it's Play-Doh. But edible.
essentially, that's what, because they got to add some kind of color to it, I would think, for it to have the psychological impact.
It's usually blue number four.
Yeah, they find that yellow number five causes cancer or something, yeah. You know. So. Yeah. So. But at any rate.
But yeah, as you were saying.
Yeah, yeah, the polls will be open for you on November. But in the meantime, whatever you run across, spend some time with the hunting and fishing, and not think of just yourself, because there are others involved, like the hunters and the fishermen. There's the environmental impact.
Yep.
So everything has its proper place. And so far, hunting and fishing with regulations has been respectable. Can't see it much any other way. So, having said all that,
leave it how it is and then just eliminate the tickets for people catching off season.
You know, because particular hunting season, you want fishing too. You can't separate the two for it, because you got to, you know, if you don't limit the number of bucks that one can take each season.
Right.
You know, it's going to be a shortfall eventually. And because, you already know there's going to be illegal hunters.
Right.
You know, so we may as well keep some kind of track on the ones that we know by selling tickets, so you can, you know, put a ticket on the ones you take. You know, and that way we can track and see how close to extinction, you know, we can keep a tab on them, you know. But if you just let everybody be like renegades, man, just go out and hunt at will when you want to, I think you're going to find some.
You're going to start a purge.
Well, it's already starting it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you're going to
start a whole purge on one species.
Yeah, man, it's going to be scary. Terrible. You think, yeah, now so you get to have meat tasting like deer, venison. You know, you go in the restaurant and you tell them you want some venison, man, and they go back there and squirt you out some on your plate, man, and serve it up.
Spray paint it.
Would you like your Venus with horns or what? But at any rate, so it take everything into account, into consideration when it comes to these kind of open issues like that, because everybody, each side does have a credible point.
Absolutely.
You know, so you really have to just, how they say, your heart of hearts, you know.
Right.
So that's where we'll leave that.
It's just nerve-wracking, just, I get it. All right, so. I have a question for you. Might be on topic, might be off topic, but. How do you feel with everything that's been on the ballot? We spoke on the previous episodes about, you know, what was going on the ballot, what, you know, what we found essential, unessential, whatever the case. How do you feel about those things going on the ballot, knowing now that the president has full immunity in all acts as president?
Well, you know, I think... I think SCOTUS, as they call them, the Supreme Court, I think they've made a huge misinterpretation, you know.
As far as?
Seeing that presidents has full immunity.
Okay.
But they should have put underscore... As some of scholars have came out and said, as long as their act is an official act, an official capacity, in other words, you're the sitting president at the time.
So that bill should only affect
sitting president,
the acting president at that moment.
Sitting president.
Gotcha.
I like to use that term.
So, ladies and gentlemen. it's kind of imperative at this point now to really think about who you want sitting in the chair with that much power.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's so if we as citizens,
okay,
if we vote correctly. You know, so here, let me back up, because what we have missed over the years is one thing is qualification.
Okay.
You know, although our Constitution has bare minimum, only two real qualifications. Okay.
Okay.
And it has nothing to do with your political acumen. It has nothing to do with your background. You just got to be a citizen.
In 35.
A U.S. citizen of 79 years.
I think you can't have a criminal record, right?
Well
that's out the window.
Even if you had one, it wasn't against you.
Gotcha. Okay.
You know, because that's, you know, like I said, the only two qualifications.
Okay.
The age and citizenship.
So hell, we could have ran.
You still can. You know, as long as you're 35, a U.S. citizen for 7 years, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't run.
You're not 35?
Nah.
You're out of the race.
Hey, I'm too old to run. I'm too young to run for president, but too damn old to get drafted.
Oh, I was just looking at an article today. It was talking about senior volunteers. You know,
senior volunteers.
Yeah, well, I don't want.
They don't want me. I got asthma. That's what I'm.
You're not senior either.
Look at that. Stuck in the middle as always.
But
can you imagine me storming the beach of Normandy, you know, and then just got to sit down and take my albuterol. Yeah. I'll come bomb it later.
You know, I like a fish.
I just need 15 minutes.
You know, 15 minutes. Yeah, I can see that because I was actually in the military with some people that was asthmatic.
Okay.
You know, and it's controllable, but at any rate, we're not talking about that.
Of course not.
But yeah, back to this. So he has, the president can, you know, the crimes, if you will, you know, quote unquote, the crimes that they are commit sometimes, you know.
Okay.
And it's not, and it could be war crimes.
Right.
You know, it could be any number of things that they could do.
I think it's a crime for them to kidnap and do those illegal interrogations.
Torturing.
Yeah.
You know, so those kind of things. See, those are outside the scope of good moral character.
Okay.
You know, when you, and that's where I was about to go with this thing.
Okay, we'll you take know. It there.
Yeah, well, because your president represents your country, and okay. representation is of the utmost character, if you will. The utmost. It's supposed to have the strongest standing character in the communities.
Okay.
You know, how are you going to be a felon trying to tell someone in another country that you have this high standard of morals in your country?
Right.
You know what I mean? You can't, it can't work like that. So for the incident that we're focusing on, you know, Americans need to bear that in mind when they go to the polls, you know, because, you know, that's like having Al Capone to represent the church. You know, how is he going to talk about sin?
Right.
You know, and this guy have committed all the sins.
Right.
You know, all kind of atrocities across the country, you know. So when we put someone in office, character, man, that's moral fiber. That's the thing that holds everything together. You know, and if you're without it, everything's going to be chaos, man.
So, in your opinion,
how you going to be a cop when you're out here doing what the bad guys are doing, and then you're going to try to bust me for doing it? How does that work, you know?
I mean,
it happens now, but, you know, that's the point. Does, you know, I that's mean, the they, parallel.
It does kind of happen.
Yeah, man. So we can't just sit by and idle and watch, you know, he's already overrun the country with his renegades, his patriots, as he called them.
Yeah, that's one of the main things that I tried to explain to one of the buddies I was having a conversation with about the election, because we were talking about the debate. And I said, well, in all honesty, the main thing that matters is who do I want representing me when he's going to go talk to the China ambassadors, or, you know, all of the other ambassadors around the world. Who do I want? Do I want the arrogant Trump? Do I want the old Biden? You know what I mean? And honestly, I wish they made a baby and this little hybrid of a president came out and who had Donald Trump's confidence, but Biden's showism. You know, because I love how tough or how confident
the
Trump
tough
speaks.
Man syndrome.
Yeah, I like that. You know, you're letting the world know we're no pushover, and I respect that. But in the same breath, you can't walk over there and not have a business mind of trying to do what's best for the entire country, not just for a certain class.
Right.
But what's best for the entire country. And then you're going to sit up there and you're willing to go back and forth. You're willing to, you know, start a war, unnecessary war, whatever the case, you know what I mean?
Let me show you how backwards Americans are.
Okay.
You take the Catholic Church.
Okay.
You look at the Pope.
Okay.
The Pope speak about two words a minute.
That sucks.
He's an old guy.
Yeah.
And he has more than, you know, 7 to 10 million followers.
Yeah.
You know, nobody telling him he's too old to be the Pope.
I see where you're going with this.
You know what I'm saying?
Get out the car, man.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Nobody telling the Pope he's too old to be the Pope. So,
but I think that's an expectation for that position.
Why?
Just like nobody's telling the Queen to retire because, I mean, she's passed, but
96 or so, you know?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, nobody was telling her to chill.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So,
to your point.
Yeah,
you know,
I
see where he was going.
And that's how America should look at this. It's not like President Biden has to be up running laps around the track field. Man, the dude, all he has to do is sit in the Oval Office, talk with his party, you know, attend these meetings, and, you know, his brain works.
Yeah.
His brain works. So if he sits there and go to sleep, you know.
Hell, go ahead and clone him.
he's focused. And he's focused in the direction of the country. And his focus is worldwide, though. It's not just America. Because what he's looking at, and this is what a lot of us misunderstands, he's not just looking at America.
Mm-hmm.
He has a worldview, because we're not the only ones that are impacting this climate thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, and when you got a guy that's sitting over there saying, I'm going to drill, baby, drill, baby, drill, that guy is not looking no further than the tip of his nose, you know, and that's where he carries his wallet, you know. See, so as the world,
it's a big ass nose to keep your wallet there.
You know what I mean? But as the world start to diminish itself,
right?
Because we want to drill, 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 and you know. In fact, I just listened to today, Nevada. 128 degrees. 128 degrees in Nevada.
That was a temp?
That was a temp.
I wonder what that feels like was.
Man, you know, and so they just set the record because a week ago it was 127 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so. Do we think that the sun forgets, you know, how to turn its thermostat down? Or is it something that we're doing that opening up the atmosphere to all the rays? You know, because the sun hasn't moved. I think it's been in the same place, you know, for 6 or 7 years, you know, all my life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the earth, is it moving closer to the sun?
Mm-hmm.
Or are we, again, you know, opening up the atmosphere more and more to let these harmful rays, I mean, to penetrate?
I get you.
Yeah, you know, so whatever the case is, it's time, past time to realize that we need to start doing something, and drilling for more oil is not the something.
To Biden's point, or to Biden's credit, rather, and, you know, I haven't made my decision where my vote's going. It's probably the person that didn't have the money for the campaign. But to Biden's credit, you know, guys up there in that age, you know, you lose your motor skills, you lose your memory, you lose a lot of those things that you had when you were in your prime. You know what I mean? But when it comes to Biden, one of the main things about him is that he's, no matter how old he gets, he knows how to do the job.
Yeah, yeah, I give him credit for
that's
it.
That's not something that, you know, he's not making silly decisions based on the whatever condition. Like, he's waking up and making presidential moves because that's the only thing that he knows. It's like the Senate was the only thing he was bred to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like every day that man knows, like, he wakes up and he tries to figure out how to make the world peaceful, but
right.
I still feel like Biden, you need to start focusing more on your people, though, because my anger is always going to be the simple fact that, you know, this entire country is trying so many different ways to fight inflation, but you still haven't shot the show away for us to get more money in our pocket, because I feel like more money in our pocket would probably help us fight inflation. But that's just me. But as you were saying, OG.
Yeah, well, you know, that's an issue that, you know, during his first term, you know, well, he's still in it, but if you recall, where he had the child credit, you know, he was putting money in everybody's pocket with children.
Yeah.
You know, so, but he can only do what Congress will allow him.
Well, then we mad at Congress then.
Well, that's why I say people are so backwards, man.
Yeah,
they don't
get it.
You know, it's not the president. This guy is not saying don't do this.
Mm.
You know, him and the First Lady Jill and then Hillary, right, with the children insurance kits, she's the author of that. And it's still going.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, these women see the background of things. See, men just see the vehicle in motion.
Right.
But the women are seeing the elements of that vehicle.
Okay.
You see, they're not focusing on the big picture, because they know that the big picture won't develop.
But until the small joints.
Yeah, you got to get them little small things to develop first.
Absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely.
And so, they have to keep them in there. They, you know, they're the ones that are really making these meaningful things to citizens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now because the presidents, you know, have all these special interest groups that are investing in them.
Right.
You know, these political parties, super PACs is what I meant to say.
Okay.
You know, so these super PACs are saying, hey, look, here's $100 million or here's $10 million. I want you to, you know, this is our issue.
Mm.
And so that president is up trying to push that issue.
Mm.
You know, that's why many of the, voting blocks of years, there's been a few presidents that did not accept super PAC dollars.
Mm.
You know, because look, man, we're not, look, you can't buy your way through there. You know, you have to vote your way through.
So let me run a concept by you. You tell me if this is governmentally, you know, inclined or not, right? I was having a conversation with one of my drivers at the job, and he was giving me this little way that him and his family kind of make sure that they all have, you know, how can I say, make sure that each person has what they need in the hard times, right? He said what they do is between whoever's involved, so we could say, well, we got like 51 states. So let's say we get all 51 states involved, and each state puts up, $100,000, right? Put up $100,000 a year. And then by the start of the next year, Whatever amount is in that pot, we'll give to each state for the next 51 years to just help that economy out, you know, in whatever situation we may or may not be in. Do you think that that's something that the government would be inclined to do, or?
That's how they actually started, you know. And that's how the taxes, remember when we talked about taxes, you know, that's what they were doing.
Right.
You know, but it wasn't like whatever's left over, you know, they would take it and, you know, try to divide it out among the colonies. Okay. And so, yeah, I mean, so governments, and that's what, actually, that's what the budget office does. That's how you get all these billions of dollars into your state for different projects. Mm. And many of them are, you know, like infrastructure bills. Mm. You know, every state gets a grant from the government, you know, except for Florida, the butthead, you know, they don't want to take the money for the medical expansion. You know, they, you know, I don't know. I think that's a political.
I can see them turning it down. There's not too many people really joining the program.
Well, they turning it down because, the government is offering, but it's coming from a Democratic government right now.
Okay.
If Florida was predominantly Democrat, if Florida was had Democratic governor, mm-hmm. that money would have been sucked up soon as they offered it.
I get you.
You know, but see, the Republicans don't want to accept anything from from the other side because they feel like then that they're being bought.
Okay.
You know, and that means that if I take your money, I might have to side with you on an issue that, you know, my constituents are wholeheartedly against. Right. You know, one of those kind of issues. So
I get you. Okay.
But at any rate, so when we think about Article 1, Section 6, what we look at primarily is the pay that the representatives receive. We're looking at the privilege. And this is what Section 6 is all about.
Okay.
The pay, the privilege, and some form of immunity. You know, and essentially, all that is, you know, it just so when I tried to find out. Let me sidestep here for a second because I tried to find out how long it took Washington, George Washington, to go from I think he was going from Vermont, no, to Philadelphia. They didn't tell me how he got there, but it took him 5 days.
Okay.
Of traveling. That would have probably either been by carriage or horseback in his days.
Gotta be.
You know.
What are you talking about, from D.C. to Philly?
No, from Vermont.
Oh, from Vermont.
I think they said he left from Vermont to go to Philadelphia.
That's a good
You know, for the yeah, for the Constitutional Convention, you know. But so senators and representatives' pay in those days, they were getting about $6 per denim. $6 per denim, and that's for their service, you know. And it didn't matter how long they were going to have to stay there, but, you know, that's how much they were being paid.
Okay.
And so another interesting thing about their pay, and that's where we come up with that, what they call the eligibility clause. You know, during the session, you know, if a job came up in other parts of the government, they could not take that job until or unless one or two things happened. They finished their term or the pay has to be cut, because if it's a pay increase, then they weren't, they'll have to cut the pay to get the position. Privilege. They were granted all types of privileges, and one of the privileges would have been the fact that they could not be arrested.
Okay.
While they were going to and from the house. You know, that was one of the privileges that was granted to them.
Okay.
And so that's kind of how we ended up with this. You ever hear the term diplomatic immunity?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's these people that are from other countries that are immune to our laws. You know, and essentially the representatives was given that type of immunity when they were in session. When they had to go to Philadelphia for these conventions or for the services.
Right.
You know, they could not be arrested unless. Okay, and the unless was they was not in a breach of peace. And I think that would probably be, you know, dude got drunk yesterday and he wanted to jump on everybody except his mom.
Mm.
You know, they had not committed an act of treason. And this is an interesting third one, because they couldn't be a felon. The act that they committed couldn't have been a felon.
Goodness.
You know, and I'm going like, really?
Now, so nothing they do is a felony.
You know, well, but I'm just, I mean, that when I think about what this guy has done, and then this thing said that they couldn't be a felon,
right.
They couldn't be immune to acts of felonious acts.
Right.
You know, they had to stand charged for that. And then we questioning whether the president is immune to criminal acts. Oh, yeah, that makes my blood boil.
No, I get it. I mean, it makes perfect sense.
So, but yeah, that's what essentially what section six is all about. And to give you sort of a verbatim or direct quote, it says, senators and representatives shall receive a compensation for their services. And those services for pay is to be ascertained by law and paid out of the treasury of the United States. And it says, they shall, in all cases except treason, felony, and breach of peace, be privileged from arrest during their attendance at the session of their respective houses. Mm. And in going and in return from the same. And also they were protected against speech. Okay. You know, they really couldn't be questioned about the things that they said when they were in session.
Right.
In other words, if, you know, like today, I mean, everything that you say, somebody has something to bicker about, you know, whether it's inappropriate or violations of someone's First Amendment right or, you know. So that sort of protected them from it.
Mm.
So, but so when you think about a right, you know, a right, and I love it because it's a moral or legal entitlement to have or obtain something or to act in a certain way. A right, you know. Don't you just love how they use the word moral? You know, it's just so fitting for the climate that we're in our society right now.
Hmm.
You know, we see so much immorality.
Yeah.
You know, people lie for no apparent reason. You know, people cheat for no apparent reason. You know, and it's just another one of those things that just makes my blood boil.
No, I get
you know, honesty, man. Let's be honest with one another. You know.
Yeah, and, I mean, and that's a major one right there, because being lied to is like a pet peeve for me.
Yeah, well, you know, let's be honest. Why do you have to lie to me about anything? I mean, you know, I'm not your God. You know what I mean? You can lie to me, but look who you disrespected.
That part.
You know, so what have you yield from lying to me? It'll buy you some time today on earth, but it'll cost you tomorrow in heaven.
Yeah.
You know, so let's be honest with each other, and let's talk about the privilege.
Right.
The privilege is a special right, advantage, or...
I like that word, though.
What's that?
Advantage.
Yeah, an advantage.
Because a lot of people will be sitting up there getting mad because, you know, a certain culture or a certain population is, you know, privileged.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'm like, yeah, well, it's called an advantage for a reason.
Yeah, yeah. Available only to a particular person or groups.
Right.
You know, so... You know, a lot of times we get to a point where we think that certain classes of people are privileged.
Yeah.
And when we get to think about it, that would have been for voting. Mm-hmm. Because as it talks about the 19th Amendment,
right?
You know, we saw how the 19th Amendment went off track.
Right.
Because the 19th Amendment, you know, the 19th Amendment actually gave voting rights to, listen to this, African American men.
Wait, what?
African American men was given these voting rights in the 1800s.
Okay.
It was short-lived.
That's,
you know,
tough.
It was short-lived because then we got up against the Jim Crow laws of the South.
Yeah.
You know, and it kind of just derailed all of that.
Yeah.
You know. So it's kind of interesting because then the women picked up their voting rights during that period. But, you know, they weren't. They never take the women for serious, man. You know, they always push.
It's tough.
I know, man. It's
they cold. Really don't. They really don't get no inch in the world.
Responsibility.
Okay.
A state or fact of having to deal with something or having control over someone. Being accountable for something within one's powers. Accountable for something. Accountability. Responsibility. Accountability. Why does the state courts find it so hard to find this guy in with all of these crimes, man? Why is it so hard for them to set him aside? You know, that's why, you know, when you think about SCOTUS or the Supreme Court, supposed to be an impartial. They're supposed to be impartial. In other words, they're not supposed to support or back any political party. They're supposed to be one in themselves. And so when you see that they take that immunity thing and they don't have the heart to say, hey, look, this guy is not immune to what he did. He need to be held accountable. You know, they don't have the gauze to do that for whatever reason. And you have to speculate on that because we don't know. Just as they didn't know, as I'm learning, that the Constitution has, you know, was written and interpreted, and they were speculating on one side, you know, and guessing on the other, you know. So what? No, what I mean by that, because they couldn't get to the point where they really knew what the forefathers meant, the framers.
Okay.
You know, they didn't know what they really meant. So, but at any rate, that's where we are with that in our society today, and we're still trying to figure out why the Supreme Court and these local courts, you know, state, federal courts, cannot bring this guy to justice in a meaningful way. Because, again, we always say, if that was you or I committing all these crimes, if you will, you know, they have us jacked up in a corner bar someplace. You know, just like Joe Rogan. I mean, they didn't clean this guy out, man, you know, with the foolishness that he was making with his conspiracy theories. You know, see? So let's not be deceived by the deceiver.
Okay. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, man, getting closer and closer to November. You know, and I don't know if you guys have been in the internet lately, man, but a lot of your favorite celebrities are trying to tell you how imperative it is for you to make your vote this year. Gotta make sure that we're making the right vote. Think about how you want your future to hold.
And not so much just your future, but the future of your folks, man. Your family, you know, your offsprings, you know.
Offsprings, your elders.
Yeah, you know, those are people that you're voting for. So if you're thinking about them, then it's almost a given that you'll make the right decision. You know, so just don't think about yourself when you go to the polls.
When you're thinking about your kids, when you're thinking about your family, not just your kids, but when you're thinking about your family, when you're sitting at the polls, there's no such thing as a wrong answer. Point blank period. Just be ready. You know, don't let my influence or what I think influence you. But personally speaking, I'd rather somebody with some negotiation skills, somebody that knows how to handle hostile situations without war. I would rather that person in office than somebody that knows how to slap you in the face with 10K. That's just me. That's just me. OG, you got something you want to leave it with?
Yeah, just make it out to the polls. You know, you're make the right decision. When you think about your family, your community, your state, your country, and the direction that you want it to move. And I'm sure with all of that in mind, you'll make the right decision. So again, for the second time, read whatever materials that you can get your hands on about the process, and study to show thyself approved. That's always a go.
Right. All right, then. Above all else, man, always be mindful that what you do today determines how you live tomorrow. Y'all stay blessed out there, man. Love, love, love.